You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Hail the Immortal Emperor. Hello, Glass Cannon Nation. My name is Jared Logan, and you have just tuned into Haunted City, the show where we play Blades in the Dark, the incredible game by John Harper and Evil Hat. This is a game of scoundrels pulling off outrageous scores against all odds, and boy, have I stacked the odds against them this week. Let's see the players who are going to be pulling off those challenges. Let's say hi to them, rather. Here with me, as always, are the incredibly talented Abu Salim, Josephine McAdam, and Ross Bryant. Say hello to them, everybody. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
What up? What up? Hey, hey, hey.
Hi. Hello.
Can you guys do like the Three Stooges? Hello, 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 hello.
Hello.
Hello. We haven't been practicing our three-part
harmony,
yeah,
but we'll get there. The you know what I mean?
It just takes time, you know? Talent takes time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Three Stooges of Duskfall. That's who I have.
That's us.
Yeah. Are you guys Three Stooges fans? Am I showing my age by admitting that I even know who the Three Stooges are?
Yeah, I've never seen them.
You've never seen the Three Stooges?
Maybe an American
For some reason, when you say Three Stooges, I keep thinking of, you know, those old men in the Muppets. I know there's only two of them, but there's like, I just keep
Stadler and Waldorf
for some weird reason.
You think Stadler and Waldorf are the Three Stooges?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite comedy team, the Muppets or Stadler and Waldorf?
Yeah, they're my spirit animals, Muppets things.
They're pretty great.
They're great.
Yeah. I like Muppets.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that if we are the Three Stooges, that my character is a late addition, is the ship of the outfit.
That's right. You're the shimp.
I'm the shimp.
I have no idea what that means.
I know. We have zero context. Half of us don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, Josephine, you don't know who the Three Stooges are?
No. Everyone always talks it. I've heard it mentioned, I don't know, a million times in my life, and I've never known what it is.
They sound miserable.
They're very of their
time. The three old dudes?
No, the Three Stooges. Like, imagine.
Listen,
imagine.
I know who they are because I'm 59 years old, but the Three Stooges were a comedy team from the black and white movie era, and they would, their thing was slapstick. So they would hit each other in the head with bricks and poke each other in the eye. And
that doesn't sound like a friendly relationship, man.
Yeah. And they would go, nyak, 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 nyak. And
so we should employ some more slapstick.
I think you guys employ plenty of slapstick. Remember that score at the Childermass Estate? In fact, that was exactly a Three Stooges episode.
You go to a Three Stooges episode. Three chaotic weirdos enter a fancy party.
Yeah, you pretend to be someone of higher station than you are, and you end up blowing everybody up. That's a Three Stooges episode for sure.
Damn, yeah, every Three Stooges episode is like a matronly old woman be like, "Now you gentlemen move this pyramid of champagne glasses," and then and then all hell breaks loose, and they smash everything and punch each other.
Jeez. But let me not speak of things that people have never heard of. Josephine, who's your favorite comedy thing? What's your favorite comedy thing to watch? What's like the funniest to you? Like, do you like the Marx Brothers, or do you like
or something
I don't know
that was made after 1940?
I'll take a good drink of smoothie while you give your answer.
The comedian I can think of that I grew up watching was Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
Oh, Eddie Izzard. What a cool. What a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one. He's good.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about you, Ross?
I mean, that's good too. What did I like? My parents had a Monty Python album on cassette, and I really dug that.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
Live at the Hollywood Bowl? Is that one?
Why? I don't know. I actually
It was just, it was a label-less cassette. So it was like this weird totem of my childhood where I was like, what is this? I have no context for this.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
Yeah. I was super into the Python movies like Life of Brian and Holy Grail. We are the knights who say, nay. Yeah, it's still funny.
Super cool.
I'm a cool guy who knows cool quotes from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. Abu, what was your comedy thing? Was it the Muppets?
Yeah, I, to be honest, I think it was, but there was a, it's so funny, like now thinking about it, there was a moment where I remember, again, like the household I grew up in didn't necessarily like watch much like comedy or TV or that kind of stuff, right? I'd have to either find it myself or whatever. And I remember there was one day that one of the newspapers was giving a free sort of DVD of this comic. And I was like, this is amazing. This is great. And I remember putting it in with the family being like, we've got to watch this, got to watch this. My mom and my dad were like, oh, okay, whatever. And it was Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Oh, wow. That's jumping into the deep end.
Literally. The most, like, you know when people like, yeah, when you watch a sex scene and you start sweating because you're doing it with your parents, like, I was profusely, I think I definitely aged there. I was just like, I can't believe I'm watching this with my mom and dad.
I can't believe he's saying this.
Honestly, when he's like, honestly, I was just like, there's the one moment which I remember so vividly, which is I'm not going to say it on here, but it's the Mr. T sketch where he's like in jail. And he's basically, it's terrible. And I was watching it and I was about to stop it. And all I heard was my dad be like, no, leave it. There was this sense of like, this is like punishment for trying to. So yeah, so never really. So I stuck with the Muppets, guys. I stuck with the Muppets.
Yeah.
It's wild. Comedy can get you in trouble.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was a rough day.
We had slightly similar households, I think, because definitely Eddie Murphy Raw would not have gone over well in my home.
Oh, man.
I had a friend who was watching Beetlejuice, and there's a part where Beetlejuice says, nice fucking model. And his mom thought he said it and and punished him and wouldn't believe him or rewind the tape.
No, it wasn't me. It was Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, I tell you.
All right. Should we play the game?
Yeah, let's get in, man.
We got a lot of score to get through.
Indomitably.
A thousand years ago, this was a land of beauty and magic. Then came the cataclysm that blotted out the sun and ripped open the gates to the land of the dead. Imperial City is a metropolis ruled by the iron fist of the immortal emperor. He gives you everything. He gives you prosperity. He gives you security. He has put a sun into the sky to make the flowers grow. Kneel before him, sing his praises, submit to his authority, or die. The sun is gone. The only thing that shines in the imperial city is the armor of the imperial military.
Wow.
Blades in the dark.
There we go.
I think I improvised the intro a little better that time.
That was a fantastic. That was amazing.
Thank you. That was all off the top of my head, or if you'd prefer, out of the bottom of my butt. Okay. Welcome back to the score that we are in media res with. A score that instead of taking place over a small amount of time, the timeline is slightly stretched because the entire score is an infiltration of the Imperial City. Our crew, the Remnant, have chased Fitz, a collector, to the Imperial City. Fitz owes them 6 coin, and they intend to extract it from him by hook or by crook. But first, they have to find him inside the Imperial City, which is a total police state. Impure thoughts are punished here. The military marches on every corner, and the bright light of a sun, a small sun, a star created by the immortal emperor, shines on every nook and cranny. There are no shadows to hide in here. Our crew decided to take a deception approach. They decided to draw Fitz out of hiding by getting into the Imperial City and then sending out word that they had a very valuable item, an artifact, a magical bauble that Fitz would kill to get his hands on. But first, they had to make it past the military checkpoint right outside of the train station. Then they had to walk the streets of the Imperial City, even though they had been labeled as yellow security risks, and find someone who could lead them to an underworld contact so they could start spreading their rumors or make investigations into where Fitz might be. I'm not sure exactly what they're thinking.
Which went flawlessly.
Yeah.
There were some problems. Juliet Bellrose, for example, can take how much more stress?
None. I can take no more stress. Otherwise, I'll be out of the score.
If you take one more, you're out of the score.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, my God. And that was just from visiting an apothecary and asking a question. So,
damn.
I would like for Josephine to keep another playbook handy.
Oh, God.
As I set the scene, you eventually found two soldiers who were off duty, whom Ecphelia, using Ecphelia's supernatural powers, they were able to extract from the soldier's mind some information about illicit activities in the city, illicit activities that the soldier probably participated in. There is a place called a P&D clinic, a purity and discipline clinic, in a roundabout here in the neighborhood of the canyon. And that P&D clinic is apparently the location where sex work takes place. So, our characters have entered the P&D clinic, and you find yourselves in a sterile, white waiting room. And there is a person, and instead of like a counter like you'd find in a modern, you know, medical clinic, this person is like behind a tall podium that looms over you, looking down at you like a judge that's about to sentence you for life. And this person looks down at you, and you can see that they are dressed in a tight white medical, like, you know, a physicist type suit with a white cap that pulls back their features. They have a skeletal face, and they look down at you and they say,
"Yes, may I help you?"
Right.
Are they in almost like nurse's attire, or what are like
more like a mad doctor's attire?
Mad doctor,
like what
attire,
Dr. Frankenstein
yeah.
wears.
Okay. Yes.
Jared,
I'm going to keep doing this while you talk to this character.
Okay.
Of you just listening, I am pulling my hair and face back to create a more skeletal.
Upsetting, yes, frankly, upsetting.
This character looks like they've had 7 different facial cosmetic surgeries.
I feel like I'm watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Got him.
Actually, my arms are getting tired, so I'm going to put my hands down. And now my hair is sticking straight up in the air. Yes, may I help you?
Just, I'm interested in your bill of fare. Your, what sort of the bill various disciplinary services that your establishment has on offer.
Yes. You're in need of purification, or you're in need of discipline?
Oh, darling, aren't we all?
I could do with a bit of I could do with a bit of purity. Although I've been disciplined a time or two. Sad to say it didn't take. What maybe they just weren't thorough enough.
Citizens of Duskfall often find our procedures at first uncomfortable, but then quite satisfying. And your friends, will they be joining you?
No.
Juliet says yes. And Valkos can feel through the heartbeat rings her heart like quickening.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, you got those rings.
Follow me, please.
Excuse me. And they look at Valkos. If you are going to be
staying. You cannot stay. You must take part in services or you must leave.
Come, Vargos.
All right, just don't touch me. Follow through.
You go into, you follow this person into a room where there is sort of a big circular hub in the center of the room. And there are chairs all around the hub. The chairs have sort of openings in the bottom of them and in the back of them. And there are weird hoses and piping coming out of the large hub in the center. And you see that there are people who are in what I would call like a hospital gown type thing, sitting in the chairs, and they have tubes coming out of their noses, their mouths, and through the bottom of the chair, perhaps their other orifices. And the hub is vibrating. And the person who has led you in says, please remove your clothing.
No.
Holy moly.
These, no. So you see, I was right. All this piety, all these strictures, and look what that's come to. Shocking.
So I guess we got to do this to start. Are we going to start spreading rumors in here?
Well, the whole point of this was to find. This was supposed to be our wedge into the underworld, right?
Are there other clients?
You haven't said anything. You haven't said anything that would let the attendant know that.
Well, because they're so at that point.
Is this are these the services we're looking for, Ekbrag?
This seems to be no doubt this could be considered a bit uncomfortable, but in the long run, pleasurable. He takes all kinds. I think this seems to be what this place has on offer in an official capacity. Excuse me.
He's doing it again, podcast listeners.
I'm pulling my face back again.
Any discipline that one could indulge in of a slightly more rarefied nature? Pleasures that you have on offer that are for truly lost souls for whom this sort of thing is no longer able to provide the punishment they so richly deserve. In particular, a derangement of senses that have become too in the thrall of vice and sin. And this is his way of asking if there's drugs around.
I'm afraid I have no idea what you're talking about.
Look here, little friend.
Oh God, here we go.
We are simply here to find someone or something or somewhere that do drugs, Duskvolian kind of bullshit that you guys wouldn't even be able to do or think of. Impure thoughts of the purest form.
Well, people come here to remove their bodies of such toxins.
Do you know anyone who could help?
And why shouldn't I inform on a stranger like yourself?
Because look at me. We wouldn't want to make this room red, now would we?
What action are you using?
Oh, shit.
And the threat is that this person will inform on you or set off some sort of an alarm.
Okay.
In fact, you can see them edging toward some sort of button on the wall.
Okay, I'm going to use command, but push myself. And is there a devil's bargain?
A devil's bargain? No, I'm afraid not. There isn't for this one.
What's the position?
What's your command score? How many dots do you have?
I have one dot, but it's okay.
Why don't you use your intimidate your prowess?
I've got skirmish, but that's in a fight, right? And then my finesse is more kind of like a
Abu's just being an honest player. It does sound like this is command.
I know, it sounds like a command, but I mean,
but you can use anything.
Yeah, I know, but
Abu has those charmed dice. I bet Abu can pull this off.
I'm terrified right now of this whole city. Like, I feel like even if I'm like, yeah, and then if I use skirmish, I feel like they'll be like, and then they blow your brains out. So right, so I'm going to push myself.
That's a good idea. To get two stress, take an extra die.
Yep. What's the position?
Position is risky for standard effect.
Okay. Thank you. Success with a consequence.
Okay. Success with a consequence. What should the consequence be? The consequence is that... as the attendant says, very well. We don't want any trouble. I think I know which services you are asking for. Catharsis, yes? Catharsis, perhaps of the physical sort?
See, now we understand each other. Thank you, Valkos. All we needed to do is speak in a language that everyone understands. So where might this catharsis be found, darling?
Follow me. And the attendant leads you into a back room that is not all white and sterile, but actually lavishly furnished. And the attendant speaks to an older gentleman who is standing, leaning against a bar. The bar is not attended. It's not like a tavern back here. It's like a person's inside their house, like personal wet bar. And you can see that there are liquors and things behind this bar. Then the older gentleman rings a bell, and a line of people come down the stairs. Men and women and ambiguous people who are scantily clad.
Kind of look at our old friend and say, how pure.
The old man says, our product is quite refined here in the Imperial City. We must hone our skills until they shine like a diamond. One coin for 3 hours.
That's rather a lot, isn't it?
Can we split these hours?
1 hour for each of you?
Mm.
Certainly. Catharsis can be achieved in 1 hour. Can't it, my pets? And the line of young, delicate, sweet young things all coquettishly... They all coquettishly giggle and wave their gloved hands at you.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Catharsis can be had in 1 hour. Well, from your mouth to God's ear. Lord knows I've seen it in less.
How's Valkos looking in this situation?
I always want to circle back.
Is he as uncomfortable as Abu is?
Yeah. I mean, it's a different situation.
Right, because I know Valkos, goes, ghostwriting stuff, but this is humans we're talking about, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering if he's uncomfortable right now.
Totally, totally abhorrent. Doesn't make any sense
to me. Really? Okay. Right.
So I'm just sort of yep, okay.
Our goal is, it's more information gathering, right? And to spread, where's Fitz? B, put out information that would attract Fitz to us.
Yeah, we want to get that information out. I assume that we want to get that into as many mouths as possible.
Right. And it's great mouths to talk to here because they're obviously going to be dealing with a lot of
other clients.
Mm. Right. You said, yes, we want to get it into as many mouths as possible. So let's get some things.
No comment.
In mouths.
Okay.
Right now.
And so, cool. So shall we invest a coin to
yes.
each spend some time and just talk.
All right.
It's all going to be on Fitz anyway.
Josephine, right. I'm going to put you in charge of the crew's coin, unless you each have, unless one of you has a personal coin they want to invest in this.
Yeah, I've got three on my person, so I'll give one away.
Okay, we'll allow Valkos to pay then.
Okay. Valkos awkwardly.
Now, it's one coin in our sort of abstracted system, but it is a lot of coin and dinero, empire dollars in the actual fiction. And so they take the money, and then you may choose your partner. We don't have to get in too much detail on this. Who would like to maybe discuss the scene, perhaps before or after they engage in an act or don't? Was that vague enough?
That was so vague. That was so vague, insanely
bro.
Insanely vague.
Look, I just want consent before anything happens here. So if anybody's like, X card, I don't like this scene, we can skip to after it's over.
Have we not done weirder shit in the past?
I mean, I've been
I'm just double checking.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jared. Although Juliet is going to just go to Valkos for a moment and just say, are you okay? Can you do this?
I kind of look to Juliet and then look, can I take three?
For two more coin.
I kind of toss the coin.
What?
And then I kind of go, you, and you with me.
They follow you in.
I said not to spend coin.
It's
Valkos' coin. It's not the group coin.
No, I know, but we're coming in here for how much coin?
All on six. Six bank. Coin?
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Right.
All right. Valkos has his dalliance, has his his encounter. Would anybody else like to head back?
Yes, I mean, that's why we're here, to spread the rumor. So,
both of you choose a partner, but one thing I'm curious about, how does Juliet feel about Ophelia potentially cheating on her physically?
Well, I think it's likewise. I don't know what Ophelia's going to... Who chooses first? I think we're both standing there.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, Ophelia may have feelings about the same thing reversed, and I should have noticed that. Yes.
Juliet sort of waits, looks to Ophelia.
Go ahead. You first.
Now, of course, I'm only going to be having a conversation.
We are growing past our boundaries. Isn't that right?
Yes. And one can only push past their boundaries if there's a great deal of trust.
Put their hand on you.
And you trust me, don't you?
Of course.
And are you, darling? We'll get out what we need to get out.
Right.
You.
And she points to one of the array and takes them back.
What does Ophelia's choice look like?
Okay, let's
sorry, I don't know.
Thanks for asking it, so I didn't have to.
I just think that Juliet would actually like pay Valkos, attention to
it
this.
It feels like Valkos didn't even consider it. He was just like, you, and you.
Yeah. Well, I think Juliet would care. That's why I ask. Just a little bit.
Just to be clear, the players took me here.
I know. I'm just... We're all feeling feelings about this and wading in. It's a young man who is just kind of thickly set,
squat but muscular.
Yeah, there you go. Like dressed almost like a civic worker, and it's like you. And
he leads you back.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet, you're left alone in the room. The old man and your choices. Sorry, I interrupted you, Ecphelia.
Oh, no, yeah. As I go up the stairs, like, I just turn to look at you and, like, a little, like, wink.
Oh, don't wink. This moment?
As soon as you thought it was fine, it wasn't anymore.
Okay. Are these people from, are they only from Imperium? You know how you said you could kind of tell, like, are they from all over?
Great question. No, there's Aruvian people. There are Severosi workers here. There are a few Imperial city, natives, it looks like, based on, you know, their color and their body type.
Juliet chooses someone, Severosi.
Very good. You head off with a Severosi sex worker. And now I want to know who here thinks they, according to the plan you guys all made ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. Well thought out. Very detailed plan.
Who is most likely to be able to either plant a rumor that will get back to Fitz with sex workers, or able to get information from a sex worker, or a third thing I haven't thought of, who is kind of pulling off this part of the plan, or are all three of you attempting it?
I feel like this is Ekaprag's wheelhouse, right?
This is kind of Ekaprag's turf, so unless somebody's objects, I think I'll go
for
it.
I will just ask the discreet question. Is there a lot of noise coming from Valkos's room?
No, actually. I think that what ends up happening in Valkos's room, actually, is that I think with ghosts, it's different, right? He forgets it, and that's where the noises happen. But I think, actually, with humans, he almost pays for silence and just to be in company, just to sit and watch. But he doesn't, but nothing happens. They just almost role play being normal.
They put on maybe a bit of a performance for Valkos. Perhaps there's some exotic dancing or acts that he can observe. And it is quiet coming from Valkos's room. Juliet, if someone were to stand at her door, what might they hear or detect?
I think they hear conversation, and Juliet ends up asking them about the Severosi and their ways and their culture and anything that she can learn about them.
Does this Severosi look like a Severosi you know and work with closely?
Yes.
In fact, the appearance is very close, but the demeanor is very different. This is a man who's been trained in sensuality and charm. And so there's nothing violent or haunted about his general demeanor. He talks to you quietly and for a long time and tells you of the great ghost hunts across the plains of Severos and throwing blessed spears into the hides of ghost buffalo under the broken sun. Meanwhile, in Ekaprag's room,
one of the many little acupuncture needles is put into place. It's like, you're a miracle worker. This is a form of relaxation and energy movement.
So he is placing needles into your skin and doing a form of acupuncture, one of the many pleasure arts that these workers are trained in.
That's right. And I'm talking with him. Not everyone knows the pleasures that can be had in uncommon ways. We explorers in these sorts of areas understand that there's a rarefied experience
be had in material, in derangement, even in beautiful things. I'm sure you know people like that.
Whatever you say, sir.
We happen
to meet a lot of people in my line of work.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Places another needle right into Eka Prag's nipple.
Yeah, Eka Prag takes that in stride, and in fact, those who have a pleasure for material things might like to know what we've come into possession to, my friends and I.
You wish for people to know that you hold something of value?
If that's the sort of thing that you could put around, then I'd be much obliged.
Someone who meets a lot of people in their line of work, like I do, sir, may be able to make some inquiries on your behalf.
Excellent.
For a price.
Oh, I'd expect
places a needle under your belly.
I'd expect nothing less, darling. Someone who has rarefied tastes, not unlike mine, but for beautiful things. Pretty baubles. Old and obscure artifacts. Oh, because we have one to break them all. Bane of spirits from the dark steps. More powerful than anything I've ever beheld with my eyes. And appraised at incredible value. A king's ransom. But we would be able to part with it for something perhaps a bit more reasonable than the highway robbers on your high street might. So you tell your interested parties that.
Very well. I can put out word for 2 coin. And he places a needle into your neck.
Okay.
You understand I would be taking the risk. And yeah. Risks are more dangerous here in Imperial City than they are in Duskfall.
Yes, of course.
And then I will, draw one of these needles out. Okay. He's trying to use leverage on me, and that's totally fine. Of course he would. But I want this information for free. And so I want to roll finesse right now to try to insert this needle into on a pressure point, not of pleasure, but of extreme pain. I want to slip this into a nerve and see if he's a little bit more, amenable to my point of view after that.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
What action are you going to use?
Finesse, because I'm trying to locate right. A particular spot.
And, of course, the danger is that he will bat you off and alert the entire House of Pleasure, which of would course. Be bad for you.
It would be very bad, and I'm going to go for it.
Okay, he turns back to his case of implements for a moment. His hand lands on a very large needle.
And I draw one.
He's like, one moment, sir.
Of course. Take all the time you need to consider our deal. 2 coin. That seems quite reasonable.
And, here we go.
Oh,
and I rolled a 6.
Yes.
A 6.
Finally, a 6 in the stream.
It's at the top of his spine. And because it's a 6, like I'm able to twist it, and his voice goes away.
Now I have an alternative to you. Yes. Yes, 2 coins seems slightly too high. Don't you think so? Perhaps you're in a charitable mood, and you might be willing to give it to me for nothing, since what I'm asking for is intelligence merely. So you put out to those you know what I have, and what I'm looking for and who. And your extreme sensation right now gets to stop. Don't you think that's a fair trade?
He nods as much as he's able. He's mm-hmm. half paralyzed.
Yes. And just in case you get it into your head to tell anyone about this, I will find you. I will come back. And I will make sure to trace every line of your nervous system. And you will silently scream for it to end. And I will look at you and I will smile. Now, I am the sort of person that you want to have as your friend. So let us be friends, you and I.
And I pull shivers out, as a nod, yeah.
And I pull out the needle.
Oh.
Jesus wept.
Shit.
Thank you. That will be all.
Let us move to back to the parlor. And Ekaprag, as you exit, the man you were just working with takes your hand for a moment and says,
I had no idea that you were an explorer in the far reaches of sensation.
There is so little that moves me anymore. But
meet me here. Meet me in the alley beside the clinic in 24 hours. And I will let you know who might be responsive to your solicitation.
Excellent.
You and I will find you a buyer.
I will see you in 24 hours. And it's always lovely to meet somebody who understands one's particular hungers.
And he goes back up the stairs. Mm-hmm. You all leave the P&D clinic and...
in silence. Absolute silence.
Embarrassed silence.
Have a lovely time, did we?
You've enjoyed your hours. You each had 1 hour. You have about 24 hours to kill. So we can just have that pass in the blink of an eye right now, which might be the best strategy. But you may tell me if there's something else that you need to do. Now,
here's a thought. Once we have Fitz, in order to get what we need to get out of him, is there,
Valkos will work his magic.
In fact, that was the plan the whole time.
Right, right. Do we want like a place to do it? Do we want,
Well, we're meeting in an alleyway, right?
Yeah, right out back of this place. Actually, it seems like the P&D clinic might be the spot.
Is there an inn? Like, are there inns nearby type thing? You know, where we could get a room if as a backup?
Certainly. Right. And you were able to do it for pretty cheap by going to an inn that caters to, you know, yellow security clearance people. It is a cockroach-ridden... well, you know what? It's the Imperial City. There are no cockroaches, but it is it's very, very poor accommodations, very uncomfortable cots and, you know, privies in the floor, and it is not lovely. But you can get a night's rest there. Is that what you do?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Very good.
If we have that room too, just in case we need to take fits anywhere, can we like have it like paid for the day?
Sure.
As well.
And the next day, perhaps you break your fast and you notice that here in the Imperial City, they have food that isn't mushroom-based.
Oh.
Wow.
You're eating lettuces and radishes and cauliflower and these delicacies. And then unless there are any objections, we can cut to the meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
You approach down the alley, and you see the sex worker that you sort of strong-armed the night before, Ekprag.
I feel like I'd have his name. What's his name?
His name is Primo.
Great.
Primo.
Hello there, Primo.
Hello, sir. I found someone who's willing to pay you.
Excellent.
Several someones, actually. Unfortunately, they are going to pay you in pain. And then a group of heavies starts moving down the alleyway from the street, blocking you into the alleyway. Okay. And Primo smiles really big and says, "Never touch me again.
That's fair.
Never come near me." And these heavies, they are dressed some sort of like laborers here in the Imperial City. They all have their green tags, but instead of just pinned on, they're like sewn into the uniforms, and they're carrying tools. They probably are customers of Primo, and they move forward and they go, "You shouldn't have tried rough stuff with the workers, my friend. Now I'm afraid you're going to have to pay a premium." And they move forward with their weapons.
How many of them are there?
There are, he says, rolling the fortune die. There are three of them.
I mean,
right.
One for each of you.
We deserve it. I deserve it.
Ekaprag's who they're going for first. And Ekaprag, unless you do something right now, you're going to take a wrench to the kneecap.
Okay. I'm going to dodge out of the way of that.
What action are you using?
Finesse, please.
Very good. Another one takes a pipe and tries to take it to Valkos's head. Valkos? Right.
I'm going to go for him. I'm going to fight, take the pipe and use it. Just shove it down his throat.
Very good. What action are you using?
Skirmish.
And finally, Juliet, thuggish looking guy with a low brow and a big mustache. Has some sort of saw that he is swinging at you.
Good God. Okay. Juliet is going to blow some standstill poison at him. It's a powder.
These are desperate actions.
I'm sure.
But they will have standard effect.
Okay.
These people are not higher tier than you. They are about equal tier as citizens of the Imperial City. So you'll have standard effect, and let's go one at a time. Ekaprag.
Okay. Six.
Very good, Ekaprag. You easily dodge out of the way. In fact, you are so quick that the guy with the wrench kind of like looks warily at you like he's seen something other than natural. Mm-hmm. Valkos, what do you do?
Five.
Yeah.
A five. Success with a consequence. The success means that, you're just using your fists, right? You didn't bring loadout that
I'm,
you need.
No, but I'm planning on basically grabbing the pipe, essentially,
right,
using it against him. So that would be like my weapon to go for him.
The success means that you are able to like hurt him, but you do not get the pipe. You don't have the pipe yet. He has maintained a grip on it. That's the consequence.
Okay.
And Juliet, what are you using again?
Can I use tinker and using my bandolier tool?
Yeah, of course. Sure.
All right.
And you're right. and you're what's the actual ingredient you are employing?
It's standstill poison.
Standstill poison.
Them.
Very good. Okay. This mustachioed man tries to drop a saw into your shoulder, and let me have that tinker roll.
Hey, critical.
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 Juliet, you deliver standstill poison to not just this guy, but another assailant. Is it Ekaprag's assailant or Valkosis?
Valkosis.
And explain how the poison is delivered.
It's actually a powder, so she goes to like blow a kiss and blows the powder across the wind.
The man with the saw breathes it in. Some of it dusts his mustache, and he goes, and then is frozen there in a rictus of pain and paralysis. You see the veins on his forehead bulging, and then you have timed it, and you have angled it just right that a cloud of it sprays across the alleyway right into the face of the man trying to bring a pipe down on Valkos, and the pipe, his hand freezes, and the pipe slides out of his grip into Valkos' hand.
Fantastic.
Ekaprag, you are still dealing with your assailant, and this man, the leader of the bunch, lifts the wrench above his head and tries to bring it down on your skull really hard. You will take a level 3 harm if he succeeds in hitting. This is desperate for standard effect. What are you going to do?
Well, if he brings it up, I'm diving almost like between his legs to roll between them to dodge his attack.
Okay, and you want to do another finesse roll?
That's right.
Okay, I'll allow it. Let me have that finesse roll.
Okay. A 4.
A 4. Success with a consequence. The consequence is that Ekaprag, instead of taking a level 3 harm, you take another level 1 harm, which is what do we call it? Cracked skull. I think that you're a little dazed. So things that have to deal with perception, with attention, they're going to be a little more difficult for you. They're going to have less effect. Now, what are people doing to deal with this final assailant before he smashes Ekaprag again?
Those other two are out, right?
Yes.
They're paralyzed temporarily. And for now, they're paralyzed.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna take the pipe and try and catch this guy off guard with my skirmish.
Great. The threat is that he will hit Ekaprag again if you do not succeed in getting him this time. You're using skirmish, did you say?
Yeah.
Very good. So more harm is going to come at Ekaprag if you do not succeed. This is desperate for standard effect. Actually, he's not ready for Valkos, so it can be standard for great effect.
Okay. Success with a consequence.
I meant desperate for great effect. And so success with a consequence means that here's the consequence. You smash the guy. His wrench falls out of his hand. He's on the ground like crying and bleeding and begging you to not to kill him. But the consequence is you see some people at the mouth of the alley who have noticed what's going on, and they start shouting. So, your fight has drawn attention, and now with wide eyes, Primo is kind of backed up against the back of the alley looking at all of you. Sweat has broken out on Primo's face, and he is squatting down.
I'm going to grab him by the ruff of the neck and basically drag him with us as we run.
Yeah, take him to, back to our room.
Yeah.
Is that what we want to do?
Are you going out of the mouth of the alley back into the street?
Does the alley terminate at a wall, or does it go through?
It does, but the wall does not look To be fair to you, it does not look entirely unscalable, but you are trying to drag someone with you.
I'm just gonna drug Primo so that
very
this
good
becomes more like easier, I think, with some trance powder.
Very good.
You know what? How much do I dislike this person? I'm going to drug Primo with drown powder, which will incapacitate them by giving them the sensation of drowning.
Oh, dear.
Primo is not a combatant, so I will allow Juliet to do that as long as she's marking it off on her loadout to put some drown powder up against Primo's nose, and you just see him like choking and like clawing at his throat until finally he falls unconscious. And now you can hear bugles going off out on the street. So what do you do?
We're running.
Yeah, let's run and try to
running
run
out into the
whatever
street, dragging Primo.
No, I'm carrying him. I'll be carrying him over my shoulder.
Okay,
or like carrying him like a fireman's carry,
running
like,
with
oh
a
God,
body, running wait, along the street.
Wait.
Okay. So our two options are, or two options, the two most obvious options are: run out of the street towards where the bugles are calling,
or climb
or
up the wall.
Climb the wall in the back.
Yeah, let's vault the wall.
Can I throw his body over?
Can you throw it over the wall?
Yeah.
Hey.
Wait.
You know what? With an action, you can.
Can I do it with? Can I throw it with skirmish? Because it is a close kind of. It's a throw, right? It's a.
I'll allow it after we come back from break. When we come back from break, can Valkos throw an unconscious man's body over a wall? And what will be the consequences if he doesn't? You'll find out when we come back after this word from our sponsors.
Oh dear, oh dear.
And we're back, and Valkos is throwing a sex worker over a wall.
Well, when you see it like that.
Come on, yeah.
That's what's happening, everybody.
Sex work in this house.
Yeah. Valkos. He's a worker first and foremost, and he's been wronged badly by
monsters.
By monsters.
Look, you got to get information somehow. And
he's well within his rights.
And in a role-playing game, that's usually by force. So, you are tossing this individual over a wall. You know, I was going to make it an action roll, but I don't really know what the consequence is here. So, I'm not going to make it an action roll yet. During the commercial, I had a change of heart. I think you can automatically do that, Valkos. You're a cutter. You're a big, brawny badass, so you're easily able to throw him over the wall. The real danger is the uproar in the street, and you guys are going to try to go out over this wall, climb up over the wall, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the action roll. Someone needs to lead a group action to get up over this wall and out of this area. And a group action means all of you roll... someone's the leader. They tell me what action they're rolling. Then all of you roll that action, and those that fail cause stress to the leader. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I cannot be the leader. I think stress.
I think then it has to be me because I'm the only one who can really take any amount of stress right now.
But I do want to have this hallelujah moment of remembering that I have a grappling hook.
Wait, stop the presses. Correction. I just looked up group action, and it says each PC who's involved makes an action roll. Okay, we got that. The team counts the single best result.
Oh,
but
okay.
The leader still takes one stress for everybody who rolls a 1 to 3.
Okay.
So that increases your chances of doing well, right?
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I do think we're Ekoprag, you're leading. What action are we using?
Finesse again, again and again.
Finesse?
Yeah.
Ooh,
and listen, it doesn't say that you have to... And earlier I said it has to be the same action, but it doesn't seem like it does. So whoever has an appropriate action for escaping over a wall, whatever you want to use is fine, is according to what I'm reading in the rules here, my interpretation of the rules. So let's start with Juliet Belrose.
Well, I'm going to use my tinker skill to adequately use, you know, show how to use the line... thrower.
Yeah, you can
just
use
the grappling
it.
Hook.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, what's our position on all this?
We said that it's going to be risky for great effect.
Risky. Great. Submit. Got a six.
A six. Yes. You deploy the grappling hook perfectly. It hooks around the other side of the wall, and you are able to climb up there to the roof where... you know, I think you're climbing. Well, you know, I said over a wall, so you're able to climb into a courtyard where you can see Primo laying there inert. All right, Valkos, what action are you going to use to escape here?
Finesse, baby.
Finesse, go for it, friend.
Risky for great effect.
That's right.
Six.
Yes.
A total success.
Wow.
So that means Ekabrag, you take no extra stress to lead this group action. What action are you using?
Also finesse. Here we go.
Very good.
Here. It is. Risky for great.
Oh,
also a six.
We just...
666, wow. Christian fools. 666, Satan rules. You all climb over the wall easily before any sort of people come down the alley, any sort of authorities who clock your identity, and they just find two... paralyzed workers and one laying on the ground holding his ribs. Okay, so you've made it away, and you're going to take this gentleman back to your hotel stealthily?
Yeah, we're going to take this drunk guy back to our hotel. Oh, he's so drunk.
Very good. I'm going to just allow you to do that. I think that because you made your clean escape away from the alleyway, you're able to lead him through a circuitous route back to your hotel, your very modest accommodations, and you are in your room with Primo sitting on a chair.
Great. And if you can just come to...
A little while passes, and finally he like goes... and the drown powder actually makes him cough up salt water.
Well, that looks like it was terribly uncomfortable. Now, Primo, I suppose I was too trusting. When you said that you were submitting to the terms of our deal, that's my mistake. I thought that you could just tell me. And now it seems I'll have to pull it out of you.
And, I will mark off on my loadout, a fine personal weapon, and and out of my sleeve a very needle-like stiletto blade, very ornate, that kind of like dances through the fingers.
Now, where were we? Oh, unless, of course, you remember who it was that you had in mind?
Listen. I'm going to give you a little advice for free. This is not how we do things in the Imperial City. You're going to get caught. And then they're going to torture you before they execute you. You're fools. This isn't Duskfall. This is not how you do things. You can't do this. It's a matter of time for you. You're loud and you're sloppy.
Oh, I'm counting on it. We'll just see how quiet we can be here, Primo. Or perhaps we can come to another accord. Fitz. The name is Fitz.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I have a lot of customers. I don't know that anybody that you know has passed through my rooms. How would I know that?
And I assume we've got a description. It's like
weakness for sight powder, weakness for pretty things, antiquarian, collector.
If he's an antiquarian, I can tell you what I was going to tell you for 2 coin. If he's an antiquarian, he's probably, at some point, going to visit the Emperor's Cabinet of Curiosities. You could have found that out without stabbing me with a needle!
What? What did you do?
Oh, your friend tortured me. In cold blood. She didn't know?
And I'm
the
just
Cabinet of Curiosities. It's on Empire there. Island. Let me go.
Right.
How can we trust you?
Look, I don't want the authorities looking into my affairs. I want to keep things quiet. So take your show somewhere else and let me make my living.
Okay.
Let me go!
I have a question.
Noise.
Jared.
Yeah, give me your question.
Can I only feed during downtime?
I don't see why you can only feed during downtime. But the issue is that there's definitely security measures in the Imperial City if someone dies.
Right.
Just as there is in Duskfall.
Does Crow's Veil not
work here?
You guys have Crow's Veil. You guys have Crow's Veil, so I think it applies here as well.
Okay.
That's right. And so I'll say, like, yes. Suppose it's time you were let go. Do things a little bit different here. And,
kind of look.
There's just a little more I'd like to get. Maybe look up to you and like, can we have the room, please?
Valkos, first of all, I want to know what Valkos is thinking and what he's going to do, but I just want to point out, Valkos, it's interesting. You let spirits ride you, but when a spirit has taken permanent possession of Ekoprag, creating Ekphilia, you're disgusted by it. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Perhaps you see what could happen to you.
Yeah, that's kind of the fear.
Yeah. So, I think it's fairly, I mean, all of us as players are able to know what Ekphilia is planning here. I don't know how far you guys are aware that Ekphilia is a vampire, but, well, no, Valkos is very aware.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm aware now.
You're aware because remember you were looking into it.
Yeah.
So, but Juliet, you've been playing it as if you don't know.
No. I mean, I know she knows something's going on, but I don't think she knows vampires exist.
So what happens when Ekphilia says they need the room? What do you do, Valkos?
I put my hand on do I?
What do you do?
Okay, I
this is good.
I think Abu is considering PvP here.
No.
Okay, no, please.
I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna look at Juliet and I'm gonna put my hand on Juliet's shoulder and I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna give her a nod and be like, let's give them the room.
Juliet goes to say something to Ophelia, but just turns around, walks out angrily.
on the way out.
Uh-oh.
Is there a pad and, like, any sort of, like, writing material?
Yeah, like the double tree letter.
It's not a Hampton Inn.
Like, I know we're in an inn, even if it's, like, a piece of Bible or something.
A piece of...
Valkos thinks
it's a Holiday Inn Express. let's make a fortune roll. And if there is a fortune roll, if it goes in your favor, there is a scripture there for the Church of Ecstasy. A scripture book.
Okay.
Let's see.
Are you just looking for paper? You don't think we have paper on us?
I have
no,
a good...
Why would we carry
it's in your loadout. Is it in your loadout? Yeah. You can write on your documents. Look, it doesn't matter because I just rolled a 6. There is a scripture book for the Church of Ecstasy there.
Great. So I kind of walk out with Juliet. And as we do, I close the door and I'm like...
Put your finger to your mouth.
My finger to my mouth. I start writing in... areas that are clear of scripture and underline and like hold it to you and hopefully I can actually write and read and write, by the way, and I kind of show Juliet and say, he is too powerful to take on by ourselves. Ophelia is undead, and then kind of take it, rip it up, put it in pocket. And then before you even say anything, my finger goes to my mouth again. I write and say, they can hear everything and see everything.
We'll let that message land while we find out what Ecphelia is doing. What is Ecphelia doing?
Right. Like, walking up to Primo again with this kind of blade threatening, and you say we can't get out of here.
What are you doing? I told you what you needed to know. What are you doing? What are you doing?
No, you've given us quite a bit. One more step on our way. And you gave us some helpful advice. So, it seems only fair that I leave you with something too.
And I go in and I kiss him. And, which I think we establishes how Ophelia draws this life essence out of them. And I'm reading here in the Vampire Playbook.
Shit.
I don't see anything here that says, like, victims die. I assume that it says they draw life essence out. Consumed from a living being. When you feed, mark 4 ticks on your healing clock.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can remove these first tier harms with this feeding.
Wait, is 4 ticks your entire healing clock?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, feeding is normally supposed to be done during downtime.
During downtime.
Yeah, yeah.
This
is
why I ask. Yeah.
But, come on.
No, let's
do
this.
I'm the game master here.
Yeah,
I'm the game master here, and everything is happening thematically. The only thing I want is an action roll here, because I think that, what you don't realize is that he was getting free of his bindings. I assume bound him.
Yeah.
And so as you come in for the kiss, he starts to rise from his chair to escape. And what action role did you use to stop him?
Ooh. I'm going to use prowl.
Right. Oddly,
because of the effect that I want here is like... The effect I'm going for is the sort of vampiric thing where, like, I'm moving towards him face to face. And as he pulls away and moves in the opposite direction, like, I'm still in front of him.
Oh,
right. Great. Prowl, and you know, here's what I'm going to how many dots do you have in Prowl?
Three.
Okay. Whoa. I'm not going to offer you anything. you can push yourself if you like, but the threat is that he's going to get away, and I got to tell you, he's not heading for the hallway where Juliet and Valkos are standing. He's heading for the window.
Right, of course. Okay. Here we go.
Of course. Jesus.
A 2, a 5, a 6.
A 6.
Rolling hot. We had such bad luck last time.
Good luck. The rolls are back.
Bounce.
Your kiss plants on his lips because you're in front of him in a flash, in a millisecond. You're suddenly standing in front of him, whereas before you were to his side, and you plant your kiss on his lips, and you can feel the warmth entering your body, the breath, your lungs sync with each other. And you feel what it is to breathe again, and you tick 4 ticks on your healing clock. Mm-hmm. So which removes all harms of the first level.
That's right. Alright. I'm back, baby.
Okay.
And that also means that I indulged my vice. So I can roll against the stress I've gotten.
Nope. Is where I'm going to draw the line.
Draw the line.
I think during a score, I'm not going to also allow you to remove stress.
You've done far more than it. Anyway, great.
No problem. I think that sometimes, you know, it is even stressful to feed.
Yeah, for sure.
Particularly this case where the man almost escaped. So.
Oh, and it also says it's the end of this description of feeding. What telltale signs do you leave on your victim?
And I think
the telltale sign is that if you return to the room, Primo is there, smiling with a look of
smiling.
Primo alive?
My victims have a look of ecstasy on their face.
Of course they do.
Is Primo alive?
Good question. Here's the thing. Like, Ophelia wouldn't have killed him. Ekaprag. Wodi wouldn't have killed him. But Ekphelia is ruthless, secretive, obsessed, and vicious.
Yeah.
And you dare to attack me after giving me your promise? You chattel? You animal? You mote of dust? Yeah. I'll leave him smiling and dead.
So, Ekphelia has drained Primo of all life, and Valkos and Juliet are standing right outside the door. Ekphelia, do you go and talk to them? Do you go and reveal what you've done?
In the moments before, assuming that took a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you were out there having a conversation on scraps of paper.
That's true. That does take a while, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I think I'll push his body, like, under the bed, if that's possible.
It's possible.
And if there's any kind of, like, do not disturb sort of sign. Since we're in a fantasy Hampton Inn that has pads, maybe has a
little... It has a scripture book, and there is, you know what? There isn't a do not disturb sign.
Oh, rattlesnakes. Okay. but it's on. He's under the dang bed for now. And so, yeah, I'll come out. But Primo is dealt with.
What did you do? Where?
I did what had to be done, darling. Listen.
Did you find out where Fitz was?
If Fitz is anywhere, he will be at the Emperor's Cabinet of Curiosities on the Imperial Island.
Good, let's go.
Yes. No sense dallying here. And if there's anything I do it to save you from hard choices that you do not wish to make.
If if Juliet tries to sort of step towards the room, does Ophelia stop her?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Now, according to our fiction, Crow's Veil must be sort of enacted with a kind of a ritual. It used to be Selyak that would lead that. Now, I want you to know that your power works automatically. It's on your crew sheet.
But let's find some...
If Juliet doesn't know that there's been a murder, and neither does Valkos,
how does Ophelia
know to activate the Crow's Veil in some way?
No,
or
you're
does
right.
Ophelia have her own Crow's Veil that she uses in some way?
I think it was implied. You wanted the room. Right?
Yeah.
And I think
it was implied that
something, yeah.
Okay,
and I think
then
if that's the case, I think then I, you know, would have maybe painted something, you know, like slip my hand and sort of taken a drop of blood and painted a veil of a crow on the door.
Right.
You know,
paint
the
sigil. Yeah. You paint the sigil, it starts to smoke, and then all three of you a black miasma floats up out of your throats, fills the hallway and filters out into the night. It is a cloud that hides the spirit world and hides the ghost that you created, Ophelia.
I love that. So then I like that happening even then, where like if I stop you as you go in and then kind of make eye contact, see Valkos, see the sort of like Severosi tinged sigil on the door crackling away, and then as I look back, we're all just like exhaling this vapor. Like,
you don't need to see what's in there.
I want to know you.
We need to go.
Fine.
Imperial City is large, and Empire Island, where you're headed, is far. It's far from the canyon. So you'll be walking for a while. You probably need directions. And then there's a very long... You eventually find your way to a neighborhood called Ivory Village. Again, named after how it looks. Everything is in white. Even the streets are in white, and they shine, and all the buildings are in white, and they reflect the light of the artificial sun, and it's all so bright it's a little bit hard to see. And eventually you come to a long bridge that leads over to Empire Island. Are you going to cross it?
Mm-hmm. So we're not inconspicuous. I'm just right. We just walk through Ivory Village.
It's okay for you to walk through Ivory.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. Your transit through Ivory Village is not stopped.
Okay. Great. And the bridge itself, is there like a watchtower? Is there a checkpoint?
There's no watchtower on it. Nope. There's no watchtower.
It's time to test these. We have papers, right?
Thanks to a flashback, you have citizenship
Ophelia
papers.
Which ones do you give to who? Like, who has the real one?
So, I'll give you the real one, but me and Prag or Ophelia will have the fates.
Okay, great.
You're a spark, right? So you're a better talker than we are. So.
Yeah, we cross the bridge.
Okay. You cross the bridge to Empire Island,
make a note. Yeah, maybe let me have switched into... I think that at the room, I'll have switched into the Sparkwright uniform.
Great.
I should have asked for a flashback for that, but I won't.
To the hotel room?
Yes, a flashback to something that happened earlier in the score.
Mid-back. Yeah.
You arrive on the other end of the bridge, and Empire Island, it is filled with what look like government buildings. you know, places, and they're built into like old mansions and old like houses. It's not like they were brutalist built like government structures, but beautiful old buildings. But they house like all sorts of different offices of the government and the administration that sort of helps just keep the city running. And on one big stone wall, as you're walking through a crowded street, you notice that there is a light, an electroplasmic light, projecting things on the wall.
Oh, no.
And it's projecting faces.
Oh, boy.
And those faces look like they were glass plates. Images that were taken perhaps at the train station or at some other center. And it says at the top in like typewriter writing, current yellow risks. And one after another, faces flash by. And there are lots of people here. And you can see that there are even military personnel observing the projection as it flashes between faces. And that is when Juliette Bell Rose's face comes up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
No one's noticed you yet. What do you do?
Can I buy a mid back to the hotel room? Maybe.
Are you really gonna flash back to the same score? Of course you can.
We've said that. Now, I've already ticked off subterfuge supplies on my sheet, but I came heavy. So, I mean, I could check it off again. But
do you have the ability to check it off again?
I'll tell you, this list I've got on my sheet has it twice. That might be a typo.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I think it might be a little bit of a mistake.
I think it's a typo. It's the same set of things duplicated.
It gives the same set of things 22 times.
Yeah.
So
wait. Oh, is it all the same?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But literally,
now,
so
By the way, I've also, if I may, I have also been very lax in how I define subterfuge display. Subterfuge supplies. This says, according to the sheet, a theatrical makeup kit, a selection of blank documents ready for a forger's hand, costume jewelry, a reversible cloak and distinctive hat, a forged badge. Look, I think you've used it up by using your highly compartmented trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can use one of the things in the description there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's what you're using. What are you using?
Theatrical makeup kit. as a performer, I want to us to have like a moment back in that room, maybe even as he's conked out, like we stand out too much, tanning ourselves somewhat, or maybe even putting on like You're changing into a different uniform. Perhaps there's even more that could be done to alter your appearance.
It's still my face.
Yeah. You know,
okay.
I just want us to in the way that like this is the part in the movie where the escapee is dyeing their hair in the bathroom of the of the gas station and stuff, you know.
How far are we
just
going here?
To shift our appearance a little bit.
How far are we going here? Is Juliet becoming a man in a mustache with a mustache, or is it just more like, is it just more like tanning and like, you know, maybe a nose? How far are we going?
Yeah, I don't think we're going like full like Jiminy Glick, like prosthetics and huge change.
I think she's gonna need something to throw off her face. I think she'll do a tight ponytail. If there are any like fake glasses, perhaps. No. You know, something that'll change. Should put on some glasses, I don't know.
Valkos, what about you? What do you think your disguise entails?
Just maybe a shave or
yeah, I think a shave, maybe perhaps, you know, sort of, I would have given in to the idea of maybe hiding some tattoos with, you know, perfectly applied makeup. Perhaps, you know, I've done up my jacket. and sort of, yeah, try to appear a bit more gentlemanly. rather than necessarily as the vicious thug that I am.
Great. So I think the main thing is, like, we want to look a little bit more local, and so that we look a little bit less like those images that are being flashed.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I just want you to I don't want anything. Sorry. Whoa. Yes, you've done it.
Wow.
And no one is taking a second glance at you as you go by this giant projection of your faces.
Okay.
And we'll just keep our heads down too, just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, I'm not gonna raise it, not gonna shout bomb or anything like that.
Collars up, head down, and off to the curiosity cabinet if we can locate it.
Yeah.
So you might have to ask directions, but you eventually find yourself in front of a palatial villa, just an enormous villa. And again, all of these offices and museums are built into old buildings that look like they once belonged to the ruling nobility of this isle, of this city. And so you can see that there are Imperial military guarding the door. And there is a place where you can purchase entry.
Right.
I guess, I mean, I feel like it would draw too much attention to break into this place. Shall we just be patrons and go in?
You could break in if you wish.
No, how much is the entrance? Do you know?
It's not that much. It wouldn't equal a coin. It would just be some of the money that you have.
Okay.
I flash back to have forged a student ID, which allows me half price.
You get a
entry.
Discount. You get a discount.
Yeah.
Great.
We'll just pay to go in.
Okay. Very good. You're in a crowded plaza, and you can see that under the colonnade, you know, along the walls. There are various statues, relics, stuffed creatures set up in exhibits. And beyond them, there are doors leading into the kind of, you know, horseshoe-shaped building. And there are galleries to look in through there. The things inside the building seem to be mostly paintings or fine art that have been culled and taken from all over the entire empire. In fact, my friend Valkos, you see a bunch of Severosi, really kind of holy shamanic implements that have just been kind of lined up in a case with a big plaque telling you about Severos.
And I kind of lean over to Juliet and kind of say, you know, that's all fake. None of that is real. All gobbledygook. You see, my people, we don't truly believe in these relics. We truly only believe in the spirit and the heart. I kind of look back again.
So I've heard. Can we do a, she walks away, can we do like a loop of just, I mean, if Fitz just happens to be here, I don't think he will be, but I mean, let's first, you know, rule that out.
Like, so
Or hunt or something, yeah.
All right, who would like to do that?
I've got no dots in any of those spaces, mate.
I've got one dot in survey, that's about all I can offer.
Yeah.
Are we all in that same boat? Yeah, I mean.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I can try a survey.
Okay. So the consequence, I'm not going to tell you yet, but there is a consequence if you fail this.
What? Oh, what?
Well, look, it's not an action roll unless there's some sort of consequence if you fail.
Yeah.
True, right?
Yeah.
So, but here's the deal. Okay, I will offer you a devil's bargain of some sort. The devil's bargain is going to be, if you fail this, not only is there going to be a consequence I haven't told you yet, but I'm also going to tick up the clock of intruder alert. Do you accept it?
Where are we at on that? Let me see the... Yeah, I'm going to accept it. Guys, I'm accepting it this time.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's our position?
Your position for this is controlled. for standard effect.
Okay. Four? Okay. Succeed with a consequence, which
you succeed
like...
with a consequence. Okay. So, your success is that you do, in fact, see Fitz wandering around, just taking in the different exhibits and discussing them with another man who's a very tall, thin. He looks like he's wearing expensive clothes, and he's wearing a hat that looks like it's sort of almost like a pith helmet type hat. And wearing that hat actually has some sort of official insignia of some sort on top of it. And they are discussing various exhibits. Now, here is the problem. The success with a problem. The problem is that he is very far away when you notice him, and he is headed toward a door marked restricted section. And there are two Imperial military soldiers on either side of that door. Getting to him quickly is going to require some sort of action roll.
I point
or you can let him go in, or you can let him go in and figure it out later. But that's definitely Fitz. He's there.
There is someone here who's very fast.
There is someone here who's very fast.
Who doesn't also, and also who Fitz probably doesn't even know. Yeah. Right?
I don't know that Fitz.
Point.
Yeah. So
okay, I'm gonna go for it. Let's try. Ooh. And I'm gonna push myself to catch him.
Okay, and what action are you using?
Finesse is the one that would, like, get me to cross a crowded space in the nick of time.
Okay, and I'm going to make this desperate this time for, because if you fail this, you will have caused a scene.
A scene, if I bump, right? If I start knocking.
You'll have knocked people over, yeah. You may still cause a scene when you get over there, but that's the next roll. Right now... You need to get over there as quickly as you can, stop him from entering this sort of guarded area. And so it's desperate for standard effect. You will be standing in front of him.
Okay. And all right. And as I said, I'm going to push myself. Let's add a dice.
Mm-hmm. Too stressful.
Add a die. Okay. Here we go.
Yes. Oh, holy shit. Okay.
that's
he's halfway to the restricted section with his friend when suddenly you are standing in front of him, and he does not know who you are. He's never met Ekphelia.
I think those of you who are watching, it's like almost double jointed movement, like around people, like a spidery sort of like. The spine isn't supposed to bend like that. And, like, people look up and Ekphelia is no longer there until, like, bang, right in front of Fitz. Like, a connoisseur.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
No, I don't believe we've had the pleasure. But I can always tell who has a discerning eye. Especially when... in a place like this, when there are so many delights to beguile one.
And the other gentleman in the pith helmet says, "Are you enjoying our menagerie?"
"Oh, immensely so, my lord."
"And what would your favorite exhibit be?"
And casting my mind back. Oh, the,
your collection of Severosi antiquities are immensely interesting. The far corners of our empire into which our immortal emperor spreads his potent hand brings forth all manner of delights, don't you agree?
Yes. I can assure you all of those artifacts are 100% authentic.
Oh, right.
Not one has been faked.
I'm quite sure. It would be a scandal if that were the case.
May I have your name, sir?
Yes, I...
Something about you seems familiar to me.
The name is Wodey. But I'm not quite certain that we've met. In fact, there was an exhibit that your appraising eye may be able to tell me more about than my rather pedestrian knowledge of the affairs was able to glean. May I speak with you for a moment, sir?
His eyes narrow. He takes a step back. You need an action roll to convince him. If you fail, he knows that the people that are looking for him have found him and he's going to run.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say, surely in this conversation, we would have slowly made our way towards him so we stand behind him.
But
we don't want to
be in view. Yeah, you're not in view. You're kind of coming up behind him.
And in a way, I'm being loquacious to try to like keep his intelligence while having an eye on my comrades moving up. And so I'm making an appeal to his pride, right? I'm saying I couldn't possibly understand. Would you like to tell me everything? And so that sounds like sway to me.
Sway it is. This is going to be desperate because here you are. You're here.
Right.
Right? But it's going to have great effect. If you succeed, you have really charmed him or flattered him, and he will try to go with you into a private area, which is extremely dangerous for someone who is being hunted like he is.
Yes. So I'm going to push myself again, and the only reason I can do this is because as what I am, I've got a greater than average amount of stress to spend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
When I'm closing in on
How many stress boxes do you have left?
If I tick those two, I have four that remain.
Wow. Ooh,
vampires get a lot of stress.
Jeez. A whole lot. Because they've taken four traumas in the process
Thank you for playing out your awful traumas by murdering somebody.
Okay. So, desperate.
Remember to tick off all those desperate XPs.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, yes.
Right. Here we go. Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. Oh, thank God.
A one, a three, and a six.
Ah. You're interested only in perhaps a trade or two.
And then maybe taking a... Are we within earshot of the official?
Definitely. He seems very chummy with the official in the pith helmet. He says, or perhaps you have something that I might like to buy?
Oh, I think I have something that for an aficionado such as yourself might be a purchase of a lifetime.
He goes, well, then follow me. And he starts to turn directly toward Valkos and Juliet.
I kind of grab Juliet and like my arm around her and kind of look as if we're like a young couple, like looking around and just.
He misses them. It's so crowded here. Some people kind of walk in front of the young couple strolling innocently. Suddenly a clock rings out. Bong, bong, bong. And then, a herald or like a crier stands upon a podium and says, "The cabinet will be closing. Please make your way to all the exits." And you can see that the crowds are moving toward the exit. And Fitz takes you into a side office right near the door to the restricted section. So,
did we see that?
Yeah, of course you see it.
Okay.
The only issue is that the whole crowd is leaving, so what do Valkos and Juliet do?
Well, we go try and sneak behind them.
Yeah, slip in behind.
Oh, I think that's going to be hard to do without anybody noticing.
Well, I'm going to use my finesse and sort of guide Juliet with me as we kind of move along.
Yeah.
and I might, you know, I might sort of cause a distraction, let's say, by, you know, instead of using the finesse to move sort of, you know, discreetly, the finesse is actually to unbutton someone's trouser and have it fall. Cause the distraction.
And you've never seen the Three Stooges.
What? That's amazing.
Yes.
So this score has seen an unbuttoning of trousers several different times. Very good. That is a finesse roll that I'm going to call risky. For standard effect, it will create a distraction that allows Juliet and Valkos to kind of run off and enter that office that Fitz and our friend Ekphelia are currently entering right, into.
Let's do this. I got a 5.
Yeah.
Success with a consequence. Suddenly, the man's pants go down and he falls to the ground, and the Imperial military come running over to see what the problem is. And the man, he had very complicated trousers with suspenders and all kinds of different sort of like cloth harnesses. And the man is like, I say, what's the meaning of this? And the soldiers are trying to pull him up. But I'm going to say that the complication is, what is the complication? The complication is that only one of you can get into the office.
So I will give Josephine the bane, and I will kind of stay outside because I'm the guy who did the thing. So I've given passage in a way for Juliet to go through.
Thank you.
Ekphelia. Yeah, Ekphelia, you're in an office. It looks like it belongs to like a curator. There are crates and boxes and terrariums lining the walls. There's a desk that is heavy with correspondence, wax seals, a letter opener, an ornate electroplasmic lamp. And Fitz sits in the light from that lamp. And Fitz is a full-bodied man. The big belly that pushes against his waistcoat. He has one of those beards that doesn't have a mustache attached to it and no hair at all on the top of his head. And he pulls out his spectacles, which hang on the very end of his button nose and seem like they're always about to fall off. And he looks at you and he doesn't see Juliet behind him. And he says, now, what do you have for me? And that is where we will end it for today. You guys are doing great.
Time to close the deal, baby.
You know what? We have stuck to our approach.
We really have, which is great. Like,
better than our track record.
Right?
Yeah, you've now stuck we just to the deception.
Get our money.
Get
Where's
your money,
our
honey?
Money?
Yep. Where's my? This is where you leave the deception behind and you go, where's our fucking money? Well, I hope you get it. But as you know, I will be a completely objective arbiter of that. So, thank you, Abu Salim, Ross Bryant, and Josephine McAdam. We will be back next week where I promise we will conclude this multi-day score and probably get into a little downtime. Until then, happy heisting. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.